Now we come to the lecture of the 30th of September, 1914. Rudolf Steiner starts by indicating, he says, that we have throughout the years attempted to deepen ourselves in spiritual knowledge. We have attempted to make the knowledge, feeling, and perception of the spiritual worlds as our task. And also everything which is connected with this knowing, feeling, and sensing. Now, however, we stand factually before the fact that we must, in a certain sense, go through a period of probation if we are in a position to be able to hold fast to the great ideals which have been designated for us through the knowledge and the feeling of the spiritual world under the influence of all the heavy events which are now occurring. We are indeed not a society which has its spreading out within a homogeneous mass of people. Rather more, we seek for the to spread the spirit of reconciliation over the whole earth. And with that, we are subject to a testing in which it's very difficult in the time in which we live to develop a sense for objectivity towards the justice of the highest things, precisely for the reasons which will precede out of what I'm going to tell you today. The dwellers of Central Europe, in a certain sense, have it much easier. Above all, the German people in Central Europe have it much easier than any other people to be objectively correct. But also there it is necessary, in order not merely to leave ourselves over to submit to purely direct feelings or perceptions, but as earnest anthroposophists, we must attempt with understanding to penetrate into the language which today must lead us in the correct sense to the justice and righteousness and rightness. Now, not because I want to bring it forward as something personal, but because the thing for me is very symptomatic, for that reason I want to mention the following. The first volume of my book, The Riddle of Philosophy, is possibly in the hands of many of you people here. The second volume was printed in the second half of July, right to page 204. And it was stopped, it was concluded in the middle of the lines. And the place in which it was concluded was for me very remarkable, very symptomatic. I had to characterize the two French philosophers, Boutroux and Bergson. I attempted to do that as objectively as possible. Then I had to make the transition to Preuss, who was an unnoticed, important thinker. After I had presented the French philosophy of the present time, I had to pass over to that which was sprouted out of this side of the Rhine, of that which originated as thoughts in Germany. There, however, the page was empty, because at that point the war broke out, and quite often I had to gaze at the empty spaces of the 13th line. No, empty spaces of the 13th page. And at that time there came different voices from the other side of the Rhine. You, for a long time, already know about those voices. There they spoke about the German barbarism and things like that, and through the most hateful hateful things and distortions against us. One might say it was very, very disappointing to experience that. Precisely, well-known representatives of French spiritual life, through hate and passionate hatred against the PR people. And in this case, that can be regarded, this personal experience can be regarded as something of a symptomatic nature. If in a book about the development, history of the development of the philosophy, you have to deal with the French philosophy, when the soul attempts to be just and fair to the soul philosophy, then it must feel itself full of bitterness if it must experience, while it all the time attempts with the greatest possible objectivity to live itself into the philosophy of West, that then you hear the screaming of all the facts about the barbarism from the other side of the Rhine. It was even more bitter, since one of the most vociferous attackers and hatred of the German nature, of the German beingness, was Maurice Maeterlinck. It's very special. The first work of Maeterlinck appeared and brings his beingness and his characteristic art to expression. It depends completely upon Novalis. It was completely created out of Novalis. And Maurice Maeterlinck would have been nothing without Novalis. All his later works sprung out of this fundamental element which was created out of Novalis. This throws a light how our age understands how to deal with things in a right way. It is today not sufficient to hear the voices which there and here and there are exclaimed under the impression of passion, but it is necessary that we make present to us the facts. If one permits the facts to speak, so this leads to objectivity. And such an objectivity is not equivalent to the rightness in reference to these connections, relationships. In immense great things are occurring in our age, and a future time will have it necessary for that which is going on in our age, in the sense of that which we speak of repetitions, to be able to draw into the situation significant events of past times. Not only one thing, but many things pressed together in order to form a repetition, a put-together repetition of significant spiritual events. Just as once in the complete blossoming of the Greco-Latin culture, the Romans had to battle the Punic wars against Carthage, as at that time the memorial battle, the battle in Mylae occurred, decided the destiny of the Romans, who had to maintain their blossoming Greco-Roman culture against a flooding over of the descending forces from the side of the truly externally still strong kingdom of Carthage. So we find at the beginning point of the present war something like a repetition of certain events. And that has to be spoken out at this place. There occurred at that time between the Romans and the Carthaginians a very remarkable battle. The Carthaginians had a powerful fleet which as far as the Romans are concerned, the Romans with their smaller number of ships seemed to be helpless. Then the Romans arrived at an unusual idea to establish bordering bridges which led from one ship to another, and as it were converted the sea battle into a sort of land battle, so that Romans, who on the land battle and the land were very, very expert, were able to achieve a great victory by boarding the boats, making boards from one boat to the other. As now at that time, something unheard of for that period occurred, which the very few people can think of, occurred in Lutish, which shows a certain connection to the described events and speak of future times as one of the most significant events. I mention these things only because I want to make notice about bring to your notice the significance of the occurrences within which we stand in the present. Now, I can understand when he talks about the battle between the Romans and the Carthaginians, but I don't know when he talks about what happened in Lutich, Luttich. I can only guess. I wonder if it refers to something which the Germans did against the Russians, some remarkable thing that the Germans did to defeat the Russians, maybe, by some special spectacular a new idea which they applied in war. I mean, that's why he's speaking about that's a repetition of the battle of the Romans against the Carthaginians, although the Carthaginians were apparently more powerful on the sea. Just as the Russians had a much greater army than the Germans may have conquered them by some remarkable idea. Maybe that's what he's talking about. So it continues. There is, particularly in these days, in the very significant decisive events in the East and the West, might tear one's heart when you think what sort of decisive things are occurring in our age and stands unknown before the gaze of human beings. And we have to make our attention placed upon something else which is of immense significance. I am permitted to speak, I ought to speak about these things, as I will speak, because I am, as it were, prepared for it through my karma. I have been born in that particular place of which one says that it has contributed a great deal to the battles of the nations. But I grow up, but when I grew up, I can see that even as a child, I was destined for homelessness without having a home. I had no opportunity to experience the actual feelings of connection with the land and the people. Besides that, my childhood fell in the time where I, in Austria itself, learned the hatred against the Germans, where the German-Austrian connection still stood under the imprint of the victory of the Prussians, where also the Germans in Austria hated the Reich Germans. Thus, there was no opportunity to produce in me a bias in favor of the Germany. This homelessness, which was given to me through my karma, justifies me to be able to speak objectively, full of consciousness that precisely the anthroposophical mood could speak through my words. Now, it's not really nice, it's not really good to speak, it's not adapted for the present time to speak prophetic words. Nevertheless, the person who remains unanswered, who says there, if the battle, if it's doubtful if it's going to be, if we're going to get, if the battle's going to be victorious, but one battle, an important battle, is connected also with the spiritual contemplation, which inextinguishable is already being achieved for all coming times. And what is this battle? This battle was fought before the outbreak of the war. This battle permits itself to be characterized in the following way. Was not the middle of Europe for a long time reunited with the East? We speak truly not of the people who live in European East. About this people we know very well. And who wants to experience the true things about the relationship of these people to the development of the nations, let him read the lecture cycle entitled The Mission of the Single Folk Souls in connection with the German Nordic mythology. Something different is this folk in the East, and something different is the trifolium which stands presently at the peak against this German spirit. And he means the tripartite. That means, I think, France, Britain, and Russia. He says, the Tsarism, the Russian militarism, this Russian militarism which has received a defeat, and the lying pan-Slavism. So I believe evidently what he said previously about what happened in Lutych must have referred to the victory of the Germans over the Russians by a special clever idea they got, just as the Romans got the idea to defeat the Carthaginians. There are threads which proceed from the heart of Europe towards this tripartite, even if it's not to its last page. Now, Rufstein continues, on the 31st of July of this year, there was, through the declaration of war, the threads between Germany and Austria, the leaders of Germany, Austria, and Tsarist Russia were eliminated. And this was a great battle. Now the publisher makes a note here, what follows is unclear, because he's dealing with stenographic things which are unclear to him. The publisher says, the sense seems to be that which happened at that time between the European middle and the West powers and Russia calls us to a world historical notice. And now ends with the notice given by the publisher. Rudolf continues, in that there, within there, there lies significant features of world history. One doesn't need to close one's eyes for the unnaturalness of the Bund of the of the union between the European West and Northwest and the East. You understand, it's an unnatural union between them if you stand upon anthroposophical grounds. Let's attempt now to exercise this in this difficult time, what we have learned through spiritual science itself and through much of that which has been pressed upon us. When we were in an argument with Frau Besant, it was an Indian intellectual indicated about the way in which Frau Besant cried for tolerance. This Indian intellectual said that Mrs. Besant was doing something when a person who after cutting off someone else's hands, who then says to her, be tolerant, otherwise the battle will begin. Mrs. Besant was saying to the other person, stretch out your hand, let me cut your hand off. If you don't do it, I'll go to battle against you. This is an absurdity to make a condition, the other person, you should cut the other person's hand off, otherwise you'll fight him. I've often in the last weeks had to hear things like this. If Austria had not begun the war with Serbia, so that would be the tolerant thing. That would be tolerable. Here we have exactly the same case. You're telling the person whose hand is being cut off, be tolerant. Looked at this way, we can see the things that have occurred in a painful way around us. We can see all that with a certain objectivity. But to achieve this objectivity, we must be able to learn how to think correctly. To learn to think is also a task of theosophy. There exists that cycle about the folk souls. But if we now, in our earnest time, are not able to understand it in a holy earnestness, then would all our occupation with this cycle would be a theoretical game. Only then, when these things are passed over into flesh and blood, when we know how to feel them, when we can then acquire a clarity from them, which is now necessary. In the last but one lecture of this cycle, I attempted to present that the different folk souls relate themselves to each other, how in the way in which I attempted to depict in the last scene of the Portal of Initiation book play, in relationship with the playing together of the three soul forces. The content of the words which each of those three personalities speak there in that play must exactly be spoken as they are, since each of the personalities represents one of the three soul members of man. In the last but one lecture of the folk soul cycle, you are pointed to the fact how, if we take the people of Italy and Spain as being an after echo in our age of the third post-Atlantean age, the folk character imprints itself as the sentient soul. With France, it is the intellectual soul. With England, the consciousness soul. And in the middle central Europe, it is the ego. Do we not know that there can exist battles in one's own soul? That the single members of one's own soul can stand in battle against each other. Notice was put in the second drama of the Probation of the Soul play. We may put notice of this in the second drama of the Soul's Probation. We can acquire a picture of that which occurs in our time if everything which is brought there to expression in the Probation of the Soul play is allowed to work upon us. And we must attempt to bring this picture to clarity so in our soul that we know how we have to seek for the ego in Central Europe. So we have, as it were, within the days of peace, in a quiet spiritual work, present in that cycle the fundamentals before our soul of that which fulfills itself today as a heavy destiny, which fills the world with a heavy destiny. Taken in the main, much of that which is happening today can be explainable if we take into consideration all that which has been expressed in the above-mentioned cycle. Only then will you be able to achieve the required objectivity. There is always happens in all wars that one person blames the other for the guilt of the war. For us, my dear friends, it doesn't suit to think like that. For us, we think in a different way. We're not going to accuse other people of being responsible for the war in the way they accuse us of being responsible for the war. I can make this clear through a comparison. Just assume a person becomes old and place by itself a child in fresh full forces. If that would happen, if the old man would want to complain against the child and say to the child, "You child, in your youthful force, you are guilty that I carry in myself the afflictions of age." It's no more wise when now at the present time people attack the Germans and say that the Germans are guilty for the outbreak of the war. We must make clear to ourselves that that which occurs is founded in the karma of the peoples. Also in the life of peoples there exist youth and age. And just as in human life the fresh force of the child is not guilty in the fact that the old man doesn't have any longer the freshness, so it is also foolish in the life of peoples to put that Vorwurf, that complaint. Well, I might add, so far I can't see the analogy, but let's see, perhaps to proceed further we might find out what he's talking about, or we'll be surprised if we don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, let's proceed further. But all that which is spoken about ought not to make us blind. We must gaze upon the factual, upon the objective. The deeper reasons for the present events withdraw themselves today from discussion. I think Rufstein is saying is here, I can't discuss today the real deeper reasons for the whole thing. But in another way, I can bring to your attention what the thing really depends upon. We know as anthroposophists that in the German spirit there rests the European ego. This is an objective occult fact. I would like to call to witness this a person who was not a theosophist. He lived in the German spirit in order to characterize what it has brought to the Gesinnung of the ego. Gesinnung means way of thinking, mind, sentiment, attitude. I know that this is not the Gesinnung of a single human being. It is Hermann Grimm, who still in his veins had the blood of Goethe in a spiritual sense. He speaks the wonderful words, and he quote, the solidarity of the ethical conviction of all human being today is a church which unites us all. We seek in a much more passionate way than ever before towards a visible expression of this community. All really earnest striving of the masses know only this one goal. The separation of the nations does no longer exist here. We feel that the ethical world conception cannot suffer any national differentiation. We all would sacrifice ourselves for our fatherland. The moment where this occurs through the war, it's far distant for it. We don't need a war at the present. We haven't got a war to sacrifice ourselves for. The security to hold the peace is the wish of all of us. We're all permeated by a desire for peace on earth and goodwill to all human beings. This is what Rudolf Steiner quotes, ends a quotation of what Hermann Grimm said. Now, take as an answer for that which the anthroposophical teaching brings us. Our spiritual movement wants to produce and satisfy such a yearning. And then, still other words of Hermann Grimm. The human beings as a totality recognize themselves as being subjected to an invisible justice throne. With earnest striving, we seek for justice. Whereas the present French really want to prepare a war against Germans because they consider that as an ethical demand. Now, let's take as an answer to this picture which Hermann Grimm brings, what anthroposophy has to say about the kingdoms of the hierarchies. It is very real to see how the human spirit in its best, highest personalities is filled with the yearning for that which spiritual science wants to bring, but nevertheless is able to pass by spiritual science. Now still another remarkable fact. Hermann Grimm says, just as the present French want to try to get the war against Germany, and how they try to establish their preparations for a war against Germany as an ethical demand, that is something which can be readily realized. Everybody in the West now establishes the existence of the war as an ethical demand to fight against Germany. Well, I want to read you a third words from Hermann Grimm. Again, you will find a fulfillment of that which our movement brings. Rudolf Steiner quotes Hermann Grimm. The dwellers of our planet, taken as a unity, can fulfill an understanding fine feeling which even the most crude and raw people surmise, and to damage that would be a great bad thing. People today recognize in every single spiritual things the right of individual self-determination. Even the wild human heads permit this thought. End quotation. With that, however, Hermann Grimm is saying nothing else than the first fundamental proposition of our society. You know what Rudolf Steiner is driving at here? He's quoting all the beautiful things that Hermann Grimm has said. And against that, he quotes the bad things that the French have said. They want the French want to make war against Germany. And they consider that an ethical thing, whereas what the good German like Hermann Grimm says talks about peace over the world. Rudolf Steiner continues, "There you see how our anthroposophy is an answer to the call of the German spirit as it resounds forth in the voices of the best of its spiritual life. The heart of Europe has and fosters a deep yearning towards spirituality." I think here we must notice Rick Mansell speaking, that here Rudolf Steiner is speaking to Germany, Germans, at the beginning of the war, and the Germans were attacked as being wrong for starting the war as the West attacked them. And now here Rudolf Steiner is trying to defend the Germans by pointing out that the best German spirits all call for peace. Now I can't see how the justification Rudolf Steiner is justified here, because that may be true. But how about him, Rudolf Steiner, quoting all the German militarists? They also exist too. But he doesn't quote them. He tries to justify Germany in defending herself against what she did. And I think it's an inner guilt feeling on the part of the Germans by trying to call and say, look, here are our great men and they speak about peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Rudolf Steiner speaks about objectivity, but I think he's biased. Rudolf Steiner continues, we can get illumination about this fact that the situation is that the German, wherever he goes, he sacrifices his own customs and adapts himself to that of the land in which he settles. And he adapts himself not to his spiritual culture, but to his nationality. That point Vic Mansell can't agree with. Perhaps to a certain extent they do, but to a certain extent the Germans really maintain their traditions wherever they go all over the world. You see them in South America, you see them in certain parts of the Baltic regions, a certain part of Russia. They maintain that spirit, which is good, but they did maintain their spirituality, their particular national characteristics. And I can't see where they sacrificed their spirit in the land which they settled in. That I can't see. Rudolf Steiner can see it. He can see better than I can see. Please know this: you can't deny the fact. The reason why Austria sent that unacceptable note to Serbia was because Germany supported her. If Germany had said to Austria, do not send the Serbians that note, which almost amounts to a victimization of Serbia. It's true there was a certain justification. Serbs were very bad people. But that doesn't justify Austria, being a large nation, sending this note to Serbia. She was much more powerful than Serbia. Austria sent the note to Serbia because Germany supported her. And then Rudolf Steiner somewhere else says, well, things would have been well if Russia would have interfered, would have let Austria give Serbia the punishment. And Rudolf Steiner says somewhere else, it would have been very fine, sure, all Austria would have done to punish Serbia by invading Serbia, then Austria would return and not take an inch of Serbian territory. But she had to punish Serbia for what Serbia did against the Archduke Ferdinand. That's the sort of logic that Rudolf Steiner is using, which I can't go along with. But I can really understand Rudolf Steiner giving these lectures in Germany to give the people courage. And that's good. He did his job as a good German. He did the right sort of thing. Now Rudolf Steiner continues. Also for the occultists, there was surprises in the last time, recently. And I have to say that during my course in Norrköping, I had to speak a sentence about such a surprise. It is true that these events had to occur, that one can predict these events, that they had to come according to destiny in this year. There came the assassination of Sarajevo. If I have often mentioned how things are different here upon the physical plane than the spiritual plane, how quite often there is a counter picture, so also it was to my surprise when I could compare the individuality who, as a result of the assassination, compare him before and after death. Something of a very remarkable nature occurred. This personality became a cosmic force. He means the Archduke Ferdinand. Rosani continues, I have to mention this because things upon the physical plane are a symbol for the spiritual. You can only explain what happens on the physical plane when you know the spiritual. I said that the frightful things weaved in the astral world, and they were not able to sink down upon the physical plane because the astral forces of fear were upon the physical plane, and so prevented the awful things which were on the astral plane from descending to the physical plane. This was on the 20th of July, as I knew that the frightful forces were there. The forces of fear became forces of courage. Now you're all witnesses how in a day the people became people who were previously peace-loving people, required a great enthusiasm and courage. And then one noticed how the people who were fallen in the war, they began after death to help the warriors who were fighting upon the battlefield. This is what clairvoyant research shows. When you discover that the dead are helping those who are living, then that's a sort of a comfort in the midst of the pain. Out of the study of spiritual science, we know that spiritual beings are guiders and leaders of the human progress. In the spiritual world, it is pre-written that up to a certain point, this or that occurs. Just assume that to the year 1950 or 1970, it is destined for mankind upon the earth to achieve a certain degree of love capacity in order to battle egoism. Everything which is spiritual science wants to produce this capacity for love. She does that which the wood performs in the oven when it produces warmth. If people's souls don't meet the demands of the age, if the idea of love and sacrifice is not sufficiently developed, then another teacher must enter. In Dornach, this was symbolically presented. Actually, the intention was to have finished the bow in the Goetheanum, the bow, at the beginning of August. That didn't happen. Karma prevented it. To look down upon the east and the southeast from Dornach, there, and there, at least we've got the cupola with the pillars there. Now, bow was supposed to solve the problem of acoustics. I had to convince myself that the correct acoustics were found. The sound which comes from a certain point was tested for the acoustics as being correct for the building. But in this space, the first thing you heard was not the words of a spiritual life, but you heard the echo of the thunder of the cannon from the south of Alsace. And instead of the light from the spiritual world, what you got were the light or the flashes of from the cannons. Here you have a remarkable symbol showing the necessity for another teacher. But all has happened in these works, in these weeks, how a totality of human love and ability to sacrifice in order to battle egoism. As I understand it, what Rufstein is saying here is this. It was necessary for mankind to develop love and to fight against their lower egotism. Well, they didn't do it. So therefore the destiny decided war should happen, because in war people produce love and self-sacrifice. That's what Rudolf Steiner, as I understand him, to say right now. I can understand what Rudolf Steiner is doing. He's trying to give courage to his fellow Germans. And they knew, they must have had an inner feeling of guilt when they use all these sort of faraway ideas to justify their actions. We're not to blame, we Germans aren't to blame for the outbreak of the war, they're not to blame, but karma's to blame. And it continues, these events are great. They can only be compared with the great events of the past, which cyclically repeat themselves cyclically. Just as the battle of the Romans against the Carthaginians, the Punic Wars, just as the battles of the folk migration, the migration of the people were very important for the developing of the culture of the people, so there is not less significant the battle in which we now stand. Those people who now upon the battlefield are pouring out their blood are bringing these blood as a sacrifice for that which had to occur. It had to occur in order for the salvation of mankind. Holy blood is being sacrificed upon the battlefields, holy, sanctified through the events. And those who have poured out their blood, they will become the most important members for future ages. Rudolf Steiner is saying here that those people who were killed in the First World War will be born again, and these will become members of the anthroposophical movement later on. That makes sense to me. Steiner continues, spirituality will come also through that great teacher, who now, meaning the war, who now passes through Europe. But mankind is born to freedom. I hope that anthroposophical thoughts will now be in your souls in our time of testing. Then that space, which is now filled with the flowing passions from either side, will be filled with a illuminating spiritual thoughts, for such spiritual thoughts will further live on. Every night I pray that I appeal in every night, flehen means I beseech, I implore, I entreat, in every night that there might be many anthroposophists who will be able to send out such light-filled, radiating force of thoughts. And when we, to that, will find the correct will, then we'll have the possibility of filling our place in a correct service of love. Our karma will bring it to us, wherever we stand. We know one thing's going to happen, whatever might happen, we know that there is a victory is going to be. It's going to be the victory of the spirit. One thing is sure, that we did not want the war. Now here, I will agree that the Germans did not really, what do the Germans have to gain from the war? They were doing pretty well. They were beating England in the export trade. And I know very well, surely England was jealous of Germany. England was afraid of Germany. Germany built the naval, threatened England's naval supremacy. I know all those facts, and it's true from that point of view. Germany didn't want the war. But nevertheless, I believe she was responsible for those events which led up to the war. So Rudolf Steiner continues. He says, this war is a plot against the German spiritual life. And I agree with Rudolf Steiner. It was a plot against the German spiritual life, but I think it was a plot that came from inside Germany. The forces inside Germany that were against the German spiritual life. The advent of Hitler proved that. I could agree with Rudolf Steiner's scenario. I agree quite well that had Russia kept out, Austria would have invaded Serbia, gave a lesson to Serbia, and then retreated. I agree with that. That the war did begin because Russia would not stand by and let Austria punish Serbia in the way that Austria wanted to punish Serbia. And Austria would not have punished Serbia had she known that had she not realized she had the support of Germany. I believe the smart thing would have been, the war would have been prevented if Germany would have stopped Austria from being so hard on Serbia. But elsewhere, in other places, Rudolf Steiner blames England for the war because he says, if you want to know who caused the war, then find out who could have stopped the war, in a certain sense. And he says, it was England. Because if England had told Germany that she would remain neutral if Belgium's neutrality would not be affected, if England would have given that guarantee to Germany, then Germany would not have invaded Belgium, because Germany wouldn't want England to enter the war. And maybe the war may not have happened. But using the same logic, you could say that Germany could have stopped the war by doing something. And so to me, I'm more inclined to the original source, namely, Germany supported Austria in sending an unacceptable ultimatum to Serbia. That's the cause of the war. You understand Rudolf Steiner at this stage trying to pump up the courage of the Germans? The fact remains that after the war was over, Rudolf Steiner pointed out clearly that it was the bad and the terrible thing about the Kaiser and the people around Kaiser who through their bad political handling, they didn't know how to handle things in foreign policy, that caused the war. And that's more than likely too. Rudolf Steiner's main explanation for the war was it was planned in the end of the 19th century by the Anglo-American brotherhoods of the West who want to get control over the world. Maybe so. Maybe that may be true or not. I don't know. But you can't use that spiritual thing and bring it in. We all know everything we do, we can blame it's not our fault, but it was our own destiny or our karma. As Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it, but you did it. Actually, there wasn't very much in this lecture, really, except perhaps it gave me an opportunity to give another viewpoint about the First World War, different from Rudolf Steiner's viewpoint. I know he knows more than I do. At the same time, I do realize that Rudolf Steiner doesn't want any yes men around him, and I'm sure he'd support my right to express my opinions, even though my opinions may be wrong. I think they're worthwhile considering. Now, Rudolf Steiner ends the lecture by saying that if we can penetrate to ourselves to such an objectivity, to such a preparation for active love, then out of such striving a power can arise which can be useful for those spirits who send their working into the destiny of peoples, and also in this earnest, heavy, difficult time, stand by mankind in a helping and leading way. The publisher gives a very interesting summary of this lecture, and I'd like to share it with you. He says, the present time is a time of probation, of testing. The union of Germany and Austria, and the unnatural union of France, England with Russia. Understanding of the present destiny of the peoples through the cycle that Rudolf Steiner gave on the mission of the single folk souls. The striving of the soul forces in the mystery drama as a picture for the striving of peoples. The senselessness of trying to establish the war guilt. Hermann Grimm about the Germans. The soul of the murdered archprince. Transformation of the forces of anxiety into courage and enthusiasm. Help through the warriors fallen on the field for those who are fighting. Development of the capacity of love through spiritual science. The war as the teacher, the Lehrmeister, towards spirituality. The will, and then in order to achieve a certain objectivity against the folk spirit, there helps us the motto, Du meines Erdenrahmes Geist, enthüle deines Alters Licht, der Christ, Christbegabten Seele, das strebend sie finden kann, im Chor der Friedensschweren, dich, tönend von Lob und Macht des Christ ergebenen Menschensinns. This is a prayer to the spirit of the earth space, in which the person is asking them to reveal the light of your ancient light to the Christ-gifted soul, in order that this Christ-gifted soul, in a striving way, can
find this spirit of the earth in the chorus of the sphere of peace. This is involved with a hope for the future that Anthroposophy might bring this peace upon the earth. And here ends the tape.